Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post show. I am at Joel Pearl. We're back. We kind of went away for a few weeks, but we're back. And if you followed us to Rebellion, well, Steven Jensen and I did a post show, but we haven't seen Cresta Starr in a little while because she got taken into the dark realm, but she's back. She is now known as Cresta Moon. Nope, I got nothing. Cresta Starr's back. How you doing?
My full name is Crestalis Markanne Starsgard.
Chat,
I'm doing well. That's my shoot name.
Chat, we can never leave you. Friends, we could never leave you. It's been a few weeks. We're not done with TNA. We were never done with TNA. I think those of you who have followed me around here, maybe all you watch is me on the TNA post show. Maybe you don't watch In the Weeds. Maybe you didn't see the Rebellion post show, but my dad passed away. It was Thursday the 11th was when I had to go home. And he passed overnight. So this isn't a, you know, feel bad for me thing. This is a long time coming. I don't want to get into it. But long story short, we were off for a few weeks. And I came back for Rebellion. Happy to be back. Missed everyone dearly. We are not gone. We are here. We're clear. And I'm exhausted.
I mean, much like TNA, y'all can't get rid of us, baby. We like cockroaches. You can't get rid of us. We love this shit. We love Joel Pearl. And when they were back for Under Siege, I was literally out in St. Louis, and my hotel internet said, "You're not streaming nothing, girl. You're doing nothing." So here we are. The band's back together.
I could have told you that was going to happen, but you want to know how much we love this, how much we love TNA? Macklin today. Steve Macklin joined myself, Jeremy Lambert, and Sean Ross Sapp for a live interview. It's available at youtube.com/Fightful or on all of your platforms for podcasts. We did about 30 minutes with him. He talked about his new TNA contract. Broke that news with us. It's official. Yes, people are saying, "Oh, but at Rebellion, he, you know, came out and said he signed a new deal." No, he didn't sign it. We're talking semantics here. So no, now he has signed it. And he broke that news to us. But yes, we did that earlier today. If you haven't watched the video yet, go ahead, watch it. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. We'll talk about Fightful Select in a little bit. But otherwise, we got an impact to talk about. April 25th, this was a show. This was a show. Your overall thoughts, Cresta Starr?
It has been a while since I have watched TNA anything because of life and just being away, being very heavy on WWE and AEW events. I'm still in my wrestling honeymoon phase. I thoroughly enjoyed this. Again, Mike Santana being back. Yes, love it. Macklin re-signing, I actually love that. I think that Macklin has a lot more story to tell. Glad he's here. Matt Hardy. Excuse me.
Unexpected.
I'm not mad. I'm always about peace, love, and if this is the key to AEW and TNA working together again, I don't think. But if it is, I'll take it any way I can because I think TNA is a fantastic product overall. And not a lot of new signings. Sami Callihan coming back. Good, good, good. I'm here for it. I am here for it. What did you think overall?
One thing I'm going to say to you is that, so the Matt Hardy thing. So we had John Alba at the top of the Rebellion post show, and he had said he was kayfabe through the whole way. He didn't know that it was happening. We got his immediate reactions from John Alba. By the way, those who don't know, John Alba hosts the podcast with Matt Hardy, The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy. So we were able to get John's immediate reaction to everything. And John put it simply, this is a guy who has so much to give to the wrestling business, both beyond the camera and in front of it. So there is a good opportunity to work with Broken Matt. Is this going to be a premier guy that you rock with for the next 2.5 years? No, it's not. This is a guy who comes in, has history in TNA, wants a world title shot, wants to work his way through it. And he's going to do this. He's going to play the hits, and that's okay. I think a lot of the people who are coming at TNA for bringing him in, or it's overblown. And I think that if he's going to add to the product, then that's great. There's a good core there. There are a lot of people there. A lot of people are signing back with TNA. They're in a bit of a state of flux, and they're starting to kind of level out, which is good. But the Matt Hardy stuff was really interesting to me. Now, what I was going to say is that Matt Hardy is probably not going to be the bridge to AEW. It might actually be the guy who was part of the main event tonight at the very end. And I'm talking about Ryan Nemeth. We'll talk about that in a little bit because he was around all week.
That's not a bad shout at all.
We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Let's open up the show. Nick Nemeth comes out, says he failed. He's a big old failure. He doesn't know what to do next. He doesn't know how he just wants the title shot, but he don't know how to get it again. And then out comes Broken Matt Hardy, which was just very strange. He comes out and he says he had a premonition. He would come out after the world title match at Rebellion. The lights would come on and he would face off with the world champion. He hoped it would be Nick Nemeth, but instead it was Moose. And then they replay the finish. They talk about it was a little strange that Nick Nemeth's arm was kind of taken off the mat. And then Matt said, I want the world champion. One day it'll be you, Nick Nemeth, but right now it's Moose. But when I win that world title, you will get the first crack at it. And then the system comes out. Moose comes, makes a football joke as he does. And then Hardy's like, no, you don't just get a title match. You got to get through it. And then Nick Nemeth is just like, fine, we'll take you all on in the system. And then Edwards says, no, you came to TNA because you want to be the next Kurt Angle. And you're not good enough to be the next Eric Angle, which... fantastic shout. Love that. So Nemeth challenges Edward.
Who was Eric Engel? Because I misunderstood that joke.
Kurt's shoot brother, Eric, who was never as good a wrestler as Kurt Angle, and other things we won't get into on the program.
Oh, kind of like Craig Christ. You're Jesus Christ brother, but no one cares because you're Craig Christ. Got it.
So that's a Family Guy reference, isn't it?
No. There's a comedian who sings songs, and he wrote a song called I'm fucking Craig Christ. Nobody cares for Craig Christ. I forgot his name, but I will DM it to you. I think you will enjoy his yuck yucks.
Sure that I will. Hey, by the way, speaking of yuck yucks, if you haven't already, send in your super chats and email, get your question statement around the air, or send us a yuck yuck over at humperchats.com. Cresta Star, you want to tell them how?
I would love to. Ladies and gentlemen, you take your thumbs or your fingers and you type in humperchats.com. Any question or comment, we'll get it read on air with any dollar amount. It keeps the lights on. We get to keep a little bit more. Humperchats.com. You could even be like, hey, Joel, why? And we'll read it and we'll thank you. Thank you. Humperchats.com.
That is accurate. Those are things that I will do. Ali's backstage. It's the ballot box battle. No, it's not an actual match. It's just a bunch of people stuffing ballots into a box. And his whole thing is, I'm making the X Division great again. By the way, if you haven't yet, check out my interview with Mustafa Ali. It's myself, Jeremy Lambert, Sean Ross Sapp was there. Sean just made a real, real dick of himself in that interview. But anyway, Ali's there. We had a very good conversation with him. Hotch asks if someone can be number one contender to their own title. And then when Santino says no, he's like, okay, I need a new ballot. Hotch being an idiot, it was very funny. Jordan Grace drops her ballot and says, I want to speak to Santino in private. Good. Wonderful. And then Jordan Grace backstage says, I spoke to Santino. My match against Miyu Yamashita next week is for the Knockouts World Championship. And she also mentioned that PCO was on standby for Jordan for the match at Rebellion, which I guess ties things a little bit together for what will be happening at Under Siege. What did you think of Jordan Grace's little tidbit there about PCO being part of that match as planned?
I mean, it makes sense if you consider the shenanigans that stuff. First of all, Edge's bitch. You already knew he's gonna have the shenanigans. So having someone like PCO on deck who can't die, especially if you guys had Khan who was gonna be for the shenanigans as well, it makes sense. Also, as the kids would say, Hotch stop glazing. If this is what's gonna turn Hotch face eventually, because he's gonna turn on Ali, but like Jesus, have some dignity. Have some dignity, Hotch. Like a modicum. I mean, it's perfect for the character, but damn. I'm sorry, just dead. When he said, "Can you be number one contender to your own thing?" I was like, "Yo, bro, at least put your own name in. Try."
No, man, they're rocking with those guys. They're rocking with Mustafa Ali. It's fantastic.
I love it. They're good hands. I love that Grace is putting up her title as well. I'm not familiar with her opponent, but I cannot wait. Because I have to say, across wrestling as a whole, the Joshi girls I'm getting introduced to, these girls slap each other, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I can tell you, everyone I spoke to who watched that Miyu Yamashita versus Jordan Grace match, they said it delivered. They said it was a lot of fun. The stuff next week, all the matches that have been announced, they all delivered in one way, shape, or form. Not that tonight's didn't. It was just a very different kind of show coming out of Rebellion. It's a very quick reset and they do this way more often than they should, does TNA, where they do a show, a big pay-per-view, and then 2 weeks later, you got another special. And that stuff just bugs the shit out of me.
It does to me as well, because sometimes I feel like, and this is just my two cents, and y'all know I hate to complain about wrestling because I'm still like very much in love with it, but I feel like there could be some time to let it breathe. It's okay to let a storyline breathe. And on the one hand, I'm grateful because I get to work. I love to work. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think after just having the last pay-per-view, we need one in 2 weeks. And it doesn't happen every month, but when it does, it's like, bro, like, I kind of feel like the thing in between, the big one, doesn't matter because it's kind of a foreign conclusion unless you're in the X division or the Knockouts tag division. Then it's kind of like, wow, God, you know, and I don't like that. You know what I mean?
It's a really weird situation, too, because when we run down parts of the card for Under Siege, you'll see it's a very unimportant show. In terms of title matches, it's going to be more of a storyline driven show, which I don't hate. It's just they taped two shows in one night in Vegas, and now they're resetting again, going to Albany and doing Under Siege. It's just, again, it's always the scheduling that makes things weird with TNA, and that's kind of a downfall for me.
Get your money, honey, but I don't know about anything else. You know what I mean? Like, the upside is get your money, get these wrestlers getting their work, but on the upside, it's like, darn, that's a lot of pay-per-views. Darn.
Yeah, well, you know what, they tied in well, because it goes, they do the special and then the next night they tape TV, and then sometimes they do two nights of TV taping in a weekend. Like, they have a plan. It's just doing the 2 weeks later thing that sometimes gets you lost in the mix.
Yeah, I agree with that again, and I will go back to saying it doesn't happen every month, but I think that to do something like that, I feel like maybe it should be like a runoff if there's like a blood feud, or like in the case of Nick Nemeth specifically, the last match was Under Siege, right? Or am I bugging? That's the one coming up.
Under Siege is coming up next Friday. Rebellion was the pay-per-view we just had.
So let's take Rebellion, for example. If I'm Nick Nemeth and I have my shoulders up, or I'm in a match where I'm Eric Young and Kaz, I wouldn't mind having another runoff pay-per-view like Under Siege, because to me that could be a blood feud. But some of the other matches you're adding, and it's kind of like, okay, I know this isn't going to change hands. I know, like, it could be a good story driven like you said, but I want it to really be like a blood feud, you know, like a Hell in a Cell or a Hell in a PCO. Monsters Ball, there we go. Monsters Ball.
Well, we just did Full Metal Mayhem, easy for me to say. So
when has that stopped? I've seen a man die on TNA. Where's Raven?
Don't worry. That same guy decided to almost cut off his own ear at the last pay-per-view. So don't worry. Eric Young is...
Tis but a flesh wound.
Yeah. Well, he still made his presence known tonight. By the way, later in the night, Steph DeLander and Khan cut a promo. Steph DeLander said at Rebellion, it was the Las Vegas screw job. Says she's also always ready. That's in reference to Matt Cardona, who's injured, and we hope he gets well soon. But he's not part of this story anymore. So Khan was inserted. Starting to feel like it was supposed to be PCO and Cardona, along with Jordan Grace and SDL, which... that would have been really fun. Khan and PCO have been doing this thing back and forth for long enough that like you can make it work. But Cardona was absolutely the guy who was supposed to be part of this, and it would have been a lot more fun. Instead, Steph DeLander challenges Grace and PCO to a tag match versus her and Khan at Under Siege. So Knockouts title won't be on the line. The world title, the TNA Knockouts world title, and the TNA World Tag Team titles, so far will not be on the line at Under Siege. They're all tied up in other matches.
I gotta tell you, I'm excited for this match because this match is free range meat. There's all types of meat in this match. Yo, I know this is probably no one's match of the night, but mine.
Go back, please. Go back and watch the Rebellion match, and you'll know why it's not many people's match of the night. Just the way that it played out, it. Yeah, I'm going to go to the super chat right now from Jana, who sent in. Do you think the Knockouts division is the weakest it's ever been? Didn't like how the men hijacked the match at Rebellion since the women's time is valuable. Also, don't want Alex or Jake to lose another match now. So that's in reference to Hammerstone and Jake something. They also have a match coming up at Under Siege, which we'll get to that a little bit later. I think it's an interesting point. But the Knockouts division right now, I kind of agree. It's not as strong as it's been in the past. And Jensen and I both said on the post show, it did feel like the men just kind of hijacked the match. It was secondary to the match between Steph DeLander and Jordan Grace. Now, it feels like you're going to turn it into something, but it's still not going to be a Knockouts feud. It's going to be a Knockouts plus others feud.
I agree. I've also felt this way about the Knockouts division. I think maybe a couple of shows ago, I had mentioned this as well, saying like, there are so many women that your Knockouts division shouldn't be Franken team, your champions, Decay. And I mean, that's really what it is. And you broke up MK Ultra and now Masha's tagging with Alicia. What was the point of that? I think Masha should be a single star. I think she has the stuff. I think what her and Killer Kelly did together was amazing. And I think it did wonders for Killer Kelly. And I think Killer Kelly can also be a single star, but they had magic together. I agree. I don't like being a negative Nancy, but I'm going to do it. There's no one in their Knockouts women's tag division. There's Spitfire, a Franken team, and Decay. And it's kind of frustrating because I don't want a place like Impact that is very well known. I mean, TNA, that's very well known for their Knockouts division, very well known for putting the women over. And I know you've got a good roster. It's kind of like, what are we doing? I don't mind a big meaty men slapping meat, big meaty women slapping meat match, but let's not lose what, you know, the Knockouts division is supposed to be. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And they also, Giselle Shaw has been out for a little bit. She, I think, had an injury. She's now cleared, waiting for her to merge back into traffic, as it were. So there's room for her. I just don't know what comes next in the Knockouts division.
So there's Savannah Evans. There's Tasha Steeles. You're doing stuff with Zaya Brookside, Ash by Elegance. Oh, you just lost Deonna Purrazzo. What? How tragic.
They lost her, but at the same time, you know, she was ready to move on.
I know, but still, I'm a stan. And for me, Deonna Purrazzo versus Jordan Grace is a fight forever situation, but I can understand how they would want to move on from each other. And I'm trying to think of who else you have that you can build up who may be a little newer, who maybe, you know, hasn't been seen. But all I could think of is kind of like the X Division men, if I'm being honest, like a Kevin Knight.
This is interesting because the X Division, I think, is about to become very strong, which is something that Ali is, you know, going to lead the charge for. And that's something that he's going to be working through. but there are people like Leon Slater. There is Zachary Wentz. Basically, all three Rascals right now, individually or together, can be major X Division players and have been in the past. There is room in the X Division. Jake Something's another one. Hammerstone could enter the X Division. It wouldn't be the first time a big meaty dude wins the X Division.
If Hammerstone enters the X Division, Ali is literally going to lose his shit.
That's fine. That's okay. And the idea here just becomes that Hammerstone wins and then catches an option C. He basically becomes Brian Cage 2.0.
All right, I love Brian Cage.
That's not a dig at Brian Cage. That was what Cage did in the late 2010s. He became the exhibition champion, and he cashed in option C.
I take it back. My apologies. I thought we were cooking. I love Brian Cage. Brian Cage is one of the safest big guy wrestlers that I've ever seen. He beat meaty. That's a meaty boy.
Regardless, the Knockouts division does need some work and some improvement. There's one name that doesn't get bandied about very often because they're in a tag team, and that's Decay. And I wouldn't mind seeing Havoc getting seconded by Rosemary as like an ultimate killer. I wouldn't mind seeing her get an opportunity at the Knockouts division and at the Knockouts championship. She was a Knockouts. I don't know if she was a champion, but I think she was. But either way, she's been part of that Knockouts division for a while, and she could have that run. She's just another person on that list.
I mean, we could even take it one step further and have... Hold on, I got a burp, and I don't want to be rude.
That's the best part. That's what I'm here for.
You got to pay extra for that. I'm thinking, even if you have Havoc be your Knockouts women's champion or just have her in the mix... I'm going to go back to Killer Kelly. What is Killer Kelly doing right now? Killer Kelly would slot perfectly into Decay. After the loss of Masha, she goes deeper into I'm Feeling Crazy, and that would be perfect for them, in my opinion. So you have another version of the Knockouts, and you've got, Knockout tag team, and you've got a Knockout contender, and Rosemary or Killer Kelly. Like, it's a tornado tag, New Day rule sort of situation you could totally do there.
I just saw something that's going to change my entire conversation from earlier. We'll get there. I'm ready to move on this. The Killer Kelly, she is on a break, though. That was always part of the plan. It's not a rumor. She is doing movie stuff with someone else who works with TNA, but that's kind of where they're at with Killer Kelly right now.
Okay.
She will be back. Maybe even at Slammiversary. Who knows? Who knows? Santana defeats Myron Reed. There's some really good stuff in this match. Go watch it. The in and out lung blower that Reed does looks great. Myron Reed is continuing to make the case to continue to come back to TNA every single time, and I love it. Santana looks great. It's his second match back in the company, his first on Impact as a single star. I do have one issue with Santana, and that is the rolling buck 50 that he does. I think it's a really good, solid move. It's the setup. It's clunky because it takes time. He's got to look back. He's got to make sure. Yeah, until he can do it without looking and his opponent is in position, it's going to take time. But that's just something I notice is that is always at play. It happened in the Macklin match too. He had to look back and make sure that he was in spot. Same thing happened with Myron Reed tonight. On the show, Spin the Block gets the win for Santana, but like I said, Myron Reed continues to look solid in TNA. Macklin comes out after the match. He says to the Rascals, go take out Santana. They tease it, and then they all walk away because the Rascals don't like Macklin. We know this already. What are we doing? But it feels like there might be a gimmick match for Macklin and Santana down the line. What do you think of this this match and this little tease with Macklin and the Rascals and more Santana?
I'm going to start backwards. That's what you get, Macklin, because you were rude to the Rascals. And why would you think they would help you? They may be, their holiday may have been Snoop Dogg and RVD's birthday, but they don't forget. So I'm not helping you. I think that the Rolling Buck 50, maybe the setup is clunky because Mike Santana is mad tall. Like, after seeing him at House of Glory, that's a tall brother. So I would understand too, like, let me make sure I'm not gonna hit this man with my shoulder because that man's like 8 feet tall. Like I'm dragging it, but that's a tall man. So that would just be my two cents on it. But that's, I can see where you're coming from. I just think it's because he's too tall, Paul. The match itself, Myron Reed looked great, but I couldn't tell you what happened. This match was it was over to me. This was a Santana showcase, and I feel like that's what it should have been. This was a fine match. It was really about the end, and I can't wait to see, knowing that Macklin has re-signed, I can't wait to see what him and Santana are going to do. I've seen Santana in House of Glory recently a bunch of times, and he's been tearing it up. So him and Macklin, I think, are going to have great chemistry. I didn't see the last pay-per-view, so please, guys, don't cook me.
They have great chemistry. They continue to. Santana said very, very kind and positive words about his match with Macklin and Macklin as well. Macklin reciprocated today during his interview with myself, Sean Ross Sapp, and Jeremy Lambert. So it's all there. Go watch the interview and check out just the notes from Santana's interview that he did recently about that. Later on, speaking of Macklin, he confronts Frankie Kazarian, says he's got a proposition for him. He says, you don't like EY, you don't like Josh Alexander, and we got problems, and so does Santana with Macklin. So Kazarian is like, hey, we'll call it a wash your back so you don't stab mine, a quick partnership, Macklin and Kazarian. And while they don't like each other, they both want to use each other to get ahead. What do you think of this idea of Macklin and Frankie Kazarian potentially working together? Because we'll get to what happens with Kazarian to get to this point.
Much like Bully Ray, it's a countdown to who gonna stab who in the back first. I don't know. I can't trust. Honestly, Frankie Kazarian is such a heel, and I hate that he's dressing like a 2007 uncle. I hate it. He's missing a Von Dutch hat at this point. I really hate it, but it's great heel work. It is top till heel work. I could see it working for a while until they gotta tag each other in and out, and that might be another match at Under Siege. And if not Under Siege, then that's fun. It's fine.
It's fine.
I did fine.
It's fine. So how did we get here? Josh Alexander cuts a promo. He says he's happy to be here. He's the last man standing. He's been a lot of things, but he's ready to be called TNA World Champion again. And then out comes Frankie Kazarian. He's like, hey, I survived Full Metal Mayhem. I beat a former World Heavyweight Champion in Eric Young. I deserve a title shot. So the two of them, Jack and Josh, challenges Kazarian to number one contendership match. Kazarian is like, nah, I can't. I'm all beat up. Can't wrestle tonight. LOL. Bye-bye. And Josh says, fine, I'll just be number one contender. Kazarian says, that doesn't work for me, brother, which is fantastic.
Bro, when he said that, that literally popped me in real life. Sometimes I feel like, again, I don't care if y'all call me a Mark. My middle name is Mark Ann Star. I don't care. But, bro, when they say that pops the boys in the back, it's me. I'm the boys in the back.
It's very funny, very silly. Referee Daniel Spencer comes out, says the match is happening now. They're going to do it in their street clothes. Then they say it's not officially a number one contendership match. So I think to myself, well, why are we doing the match? Either way, Josh gets busted open and behind the ear again. Kazarian hits that chicken wing, gets turned into an ankle lock, which is really good. And then that becomes a package pin. Really good counters in this match. These two men work very well together. But what does it? Kazarian tries to use the chair. The referee grabs it. So instead, Kazarian grabs a chain. Out comes Eric Young with his head wrapped up in bandages. And he comes out, takes that away. Kazarian fakes out EY. The referee is trying to figure out what's going on. And then Josh gets the last laugh because he hits an ankle lock, gets the win. Josh Alexander beats Frankie Kazarian. Your thoughts on all that?
Shout out to Frankie Kazarian doing the Eddie Guerrero without the chair. Like, you piece of crap. Eric Young gets ejected, but also not loosens the most devastating move in the game. The surprise roll up next to the Yambag shuffle. Honestly, it was what it needed to be. I kind of don't understand if it wasn't going to be for the first number one contender. Why do we do it? I get it. He was talking crap and we got to do something, but we could have did something else. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't hate it. It was a good match. It was a good match. It furthered the storyline, but
I appreciate that while commentary says it's not officially a number one contendership match, they're making it sound like the winner gets high consideration for a title match. And on top of that, we now know that Under Siege, it's not going to be any of the world title's not on the line at Under Siege. So you could do it at Against All Odds in Chicago in May. No, God, is that June? June, and then July is Slammiversary. So you could have Josh versus the world champion at Slammiversary. big Canadian matchup. But we'll see. They're at least trying to set something up. I still think Kazarian's prime for a King of the Mountain match.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it with the, especially with the King of TNA moniker he's got going on. And even if he takes it off of Moose, like I said, and like I've been saying, everyone hates the system so much that you'd even be like, you know what, Frankie Kazarian, you're annoying. But at least it's not on the system.
So here's an idea. One thing you could do is going into Slammiversary, Josh gets the number one contendership, wins it, has a match against Moose, wins the world title in Montreal at Slammiversary. Meanwhile, Kazarian wins a number one contendership King of the Mountain match. You can do Kazarian versus Josh again. They've been putting that over very hard. You've got Tom Hannifin saying at Overdrive, this was the best match I ever called, blah, blah, blah. Tonight's match was kind of official, but unofficial because of the street clothes. And it was very, last minute. So like, you're kind of protecting this match from happening. And it feels like the next time they want to run it, it's going to have the big stakes of a world title match. So you could run back Josh versus Kazarian later on after Slammiversary. And once both men kind of reposition themselves, maybe Josh as the champion, Kazarian as number one contender.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I will say TNA does have a very healthy main event scene, because while you're saying that, I'm like, that's cool for Kazarian, and I think Josh absolutely should go back to being world champion, but where does Macklin fall in this? Jake something absolutely needs to be in the conversation. Alex Hammerstone needs to be in this conversation as well. Ali, I think, eventually is going to option C it. In my mind, he's going to be like, I'm not fighting one of these big guys. You got me screwed up. I already did it once with something. I don't want to do it again. You know what I mean? So I think that they've got a great, great, healthy main event scene, that the fact that we can come up with all of these different ideas, I want some of that. Bring some of that love to the Knockouts division. You know what I mean? I think that it's healthy, because I like the idea of Kaz, but I also want to see Josh versus Hammerstone or something versus Ali for the top. You know what I mean?
I do. And if you've got six guys going in a King of the Mountain match for a number one contendership, you've got Macklin, you've got Kazarian, you've got Hammerstone, you've got Jake something. You have people that can get into that match. And because it's number one contendership for the world title, it's big enough. Maybe Matt Hardy's part. I don't know if I want Matt Hardy part of that. But anyway, the point being, there's room for these guys because it's a loaded main event. It's a loaded world title roster.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of loaded, First Class with Bun B show up with Gia Miller on the stage. Everyone comes out for First Class. Gia Miller asks Rich Swann if his win was tainted, given the outside interference. And Rich Swann's like, no. Then he say his name and Joe Hendry teleports. And I think it's hilarious the way AJ Francis sells that, as if he's the devil. And then Hendry's like, I lost. I'm hurt. My groin. I got an injury. I owe you an apology. I'm going to do it in the ring next week. And it's so awkward. They're just standing there while this upbeat Joe Hendry music plays, and they just look so dejected, and everyone's confused. I don't know if I have anything to add about this other than it was weird.
I want this to get over. I truly do, because I think that everyone should be given the opportunity to change. But this act is corny. This is the Acclaimed when they first came out levels of corny. And I'm trying. And I don't know how. To me, you've got all the pieces. You've got a bard in Joe Hendry. You've got another bard in AJ Francis. And you've got a really good wrestler in Rich Swann. I don't know what's not clicking, Steven. But this, I think, I don't care how many rappers you bring out. I don't want to see it. I really want to say something. I want to. I don't know what is not clicking, but Something might change because tonight my mind changed about Ash by Elegance. So again, I'm always willing to give it a chance, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I don't know wrestling. Maybe I'm a fraud.
The personal concierge comes out and he's doing the thing again. And he introduces for the first time ever her fifth match. It's time for Ash by Elegance versus Xia Brookside. Xia Brookside gets the win. Ash is mostly in control. And then Iceman slips Ash ring knucks, not brass knucks, but ring knucks. The referee's like, nah, that's too bling for me. I can't let you use those. And then Xia rolls up Ash for the win. Ash has a tantrum in the middle of the ring, which I thought was hilarious. She loses. Finally, this was good in terms of not making Ash by Elegance so serious that she's got to be on this big win streak to go up against Jordynne Grace, blah, 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 blah. Instead, we're actually going to build Ash as an actual wrestler who can lose a match and be a dumb heel. I liked it for what it was. Talk to me.
I have been down on Ash by Elegance for weeks. And this match, the gear was good. Let's start there. And she wrestled really stiff. Her pump kicks, I don't want to get kicked by that woman. This is like all she does is leg day. Her pump kicks are really nice. So Ash by Elegance, I see it's coming along. So kudos for you. Xia Brookside winning, though, that was hilarious. You shouldn't have lost to that. Like you said, this whole match, you were pretty dominant. What happened? Because you wanted to argue with the ref? You idiot. But no, this was a good match. I got to give Ash by Elegance her flowers. I did like the springboard backhand that she did on the apron. Not the apron, the ramp. I think that looks a lot more effective there than in the ring, if I'm being honest. So I like this. I like where it is going. Even I feel like George Iceman reeled back just a touch. Also, the brass knuckles, maybe it was just me and I was reading into it, but it was giving Infinity Gauntlet and you're not sneaky.
You're right. And it was funny just because they're just this gaudy set of rings that would look like they were just glued together.
Like, bro, like it wasn't even trying to be sneaky. It was literally like the Captain Planet rings.
It's true. It was good stuff. And I like, again, I like that Ash had a tantrum in the ring. She's freaking out. She's upset. And maybe this is going to turn into a you screwed me personal concierge. You did this. You screwed me out of this. So maybe he gets kicked to the curb. Maybe not. Maybe they're going to figure it out and she'll lose another match down the line.
I don't think it's time yet to break them up. I think Ash is finally getting her sea legs. But I will say that there is a comparison between Ash by Elegance and, oh my God, you just said her name earlier, Giselle Shaw, when she first was introduced. And we're finally getting on that pace where, okay, it's getting there. So maybe if she loses another 2-3 matches, now we start blaming George Iceman. However, I think she still needs George Iceman, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. We got a super chat from Alan Marks, by the way, saying this is for, well, just because. Keep on keeping on. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate you very much hanging out with us tonight. You can donate a super chat or a Humper chat. Any match question or statement read on the air, the ballot box. Let's go back to the results. The winner is Trey Miguel. Suspiciously, he won by 60 votes. Leon Slater walks in.
Not even 60 guys back here.
Leon Slater is like, oh, bro, there weren't even 60 people back here. And then, thank you, by the way. That was my wonderful British accent.
Sorry.
It was great. You know what I really liked about this? I like that Leon Slater says the line, and then Zachary Wentz immediately takes issue with it, stands up for his boy, and in the process sets up a potential match between these guys. I like that there were little things that played in with everyone who was in this segment. Ace Austin, it comes in second place by a fair amount. Ali steps in and there's been voter fraud, so I think no number one contender should be appointed. And then Santino Marella tells people to stop bickering, and he says conventional wisdom states Ace versus Trey next week. Winner gets Ali at Under Siege. So X Division Championship will be on the line at Under Siege, and really it doesn't matter if it's Ace Austin or Trey Miguel. That's going to be a great match for Mustafa Ali. What do you think of the ballot box segments in the end?
Honestly, this was peak jabroniism, and I loved it. I mean, at that point, I could have put my name in the ballot box. I low-key thought Jordan Grace put her name in the ballot box. I do enjoy how the Rascals, listen, Joel, I would lie for you. I would, if you, what's that place in Canada you said sucks? Windsor or?
Hamilton.
If somebody said, do you think Hamilton sucks? Never been there. And I know what I would say? All my homies hate Hamilton. Because that's how ride or die you need to be. And I like that it was probably Wentz who was like, yo, don't worry about me just putting these ballots in the bottom. These are all different wrestlers. Mind your business. I respect it. A little surprised, though, that it wasn't a Hammerstone or I don't know. To me, it's a usual suspect. Not mad. It's going to be good, like you said. No matter who wins that match, we win that match.
Yeah, and they kind of already set up Hammerstone and Jake something for Under Siege, which, again, I like it. While I agreed with the Super Chat earlier that said, you know, neither man should lose a match, this is one of those someone can lose and still look good. This is a match, you know, just like Hammerstone and Josh in the first time they met, you can have multiple matches between these two. You can set up a rivalry between Jake Something and Hammerstone, and I think people would really enjoy it if the chemistry is there, because these are two big, strong-looking dudes, and I know someone sitting next to me who would absolutely love that. She's gesturing wildly to her nose as if she wants to snort it right now. Anyway, her name is Cresta Starr. The point is, there is opportunity there. Someone can lose as long as they don't make them look stupid in the loss.
I'm gonna be that guy. I know we normally don't bring up stuff that ain't super chats, but there's a free out. All you're missing is Swinger. What has Johnny Swinger been doing? Let's say for kayfabe, because I don't know, that man could be injured. He could be taking time off. I hope Johnny Swinger comes back too. But what if Johnny Swinger comes back and he's super serious and is buff and jacked? I'd scream.
First of all, he was already jacked. Okay, let's just get that.
I'm sorry. My apologies. You're right.
Don't forget. He's always jacked, baby. Always ready. Just like Matt Cardona. But I hope Swinger comes back. I always love the man. Fantastic. But I don't know if we'll see him anytime soon.
Can you imagine during that match, you just hear Swinger's music, and he's just like, hey, I heard that there was an invitation, and I wanted to get into this valley box. They're like, yo, bro, that was last week. Get the hell out of here.
I was here in New York, Daddy, and I came to the show. I wanted to get in on the ballot box.
Hey, Daddy, I heard it on the internet. You know, you're in this thing called the internet? That's crazy. I saw the show last week on this thing called YouTube. I didn't pay $5, Daddy. It's a ripoff.
People would absolutely eat that up. Speaking of returns, Sami Callihan defeats the Good Hands. Callihan immediately dropping Hotch in the opening moments. It was so good. The Good Hands are just... they're great chicken shit heels, always. Hotch gets dropped again by Callihan mid-match. Cactus Driver 97, that's it. Sami Callihan is back, and I'm wondering how you feel about that.
Not mad, but goddamn Good Hands. All night to that. Y'all just L after L after L after you voted for Ali. You didn't even vote for yourself. And then y'all got beat up by one guy who literally, Sami Callihan skins. Y'all got beat up by one Sami Callihan. Can get beat up, but y'all lost to one Sami Callihan. You know, it might be time to maybe not good hands, some hands. just hands, you know. it might be time to rebrand.
Listen, with the elections coming up over you guys, they might just call themselves the Tiny Hands for heat.
Please.
Did I strike a nerve? Under Siege is next Friday. We will have a post show, of course. Whether it's myself and someone else or solo, or if Crest is here, it's her birthday. Let's give her the nights off, shall we? We'll see what she wants to do. The frozen face you're making was fantastic.
Honestly, it's the guttural tiny hands, because as an American, I'm upside down just thinking about November. It's my birthday coming up. It's like, yeah, I'll be at the post show. You're going to see me in the front row like this.
One tag match that was added to the card is for the Knockouts tag team titles at Under Siege. It's going to be Spitfire versus Masha Lisha is what I'm going to call them.
I don't understand. Why did we break up?
Tully's on a break, so they're giving Masha Lisha a chance.
As Masha Licious.
Masha Licious is what we'll call them, Masha Licious. And by the way, you know, just like Ross and Rachel, Masha and Kelly are on a break.
Okay. I will take that. But again, I go back to, for all of that, I remember Jordynne Grace and Masha Samovich putting each other through doors. I need that again. And no disrespect to Alicia. She's on an amazing run. But not with no Masha Slam. Stop playing with me. My hands are up. I'm ready to fist fight.
Dude, there's part of me that thinks they're going to give it to Masha Licious, because they want everyone in the system to have a title.
That is too funny. However, I will rebuttal with Masha's not even in the system. And if you want to be a real piece of crap, give her the main title. Screw Jordynne Grace. Don't be a coward. I don't even know who's in charge. I can't even say Scott D'Amore. So whoever's in charge, don't be a coward. Screw Jordynne Grace. You have it set up there. You got Chris DeLander. You've got Matt Cardona lurking. And you could literally screw Jordynne Grace. I don't like it, but for all of that. But if you're not, then you have to make Masha a part of the system. Masha Licious. It's a conspicuous that if you were suspicious. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I was expecting you to do the whole thing. I'm kind of hoping.
I don't want to be monetized.
hard to do that in this case. I'm really hoping if anyone from TNA, if you're watching this, if you haven't started calling them Masha Licious, just start now.
It's free. Like, honestly, you can literally change your music to just the opening. It's ha ha, it's Masha Licious.
I gotta stop clowning on these two. Speaking of the Edwards defeats Nick Nemeth in our main event. Ryan Nemeth is at ringside, as he was at Rebellion. Hot Young Briley, as he's known. And Lish keeps getting involved in front of Ryan Nemeth, which I like. And then, you know, Myers is causing a distraction. It's a back and forth match. It's a very simple but solid heel and babyface story, main event type of match for these two. I love that Eddie Edwards, I keep seeing him try to call spots while he's on the floor, and he just covers his face with his wrist just like this so that you don't hear him. And it's very funny. So Myers and Ryan Nemeth start mouthing off. The referee tries to break it up. He doesn't see Moose hit the ring and get Nick Nemeth, tag him with the TNA title. Edwards hits a Boston Knee Party, gets the win. Post-match, this is where it gets interesting. Ryan's being held back as Nick is getting the chair wrapped around his neck, and Moose hits Nemeth with a chair that's with another chair. So Nemeth is basically taken out of this match. And my immediate suspicion is, oh, Ryan Nemeth is going to replace his brother at Under Siege. Nope. It's Matt Hardy. They've already announced it. Matt Hardy is going to team with Speedball Mountain to take on the system at Under Siege next Friday. So against all odds, it'll probably be Moose versus Matt Hardy, which is what I told y'all at Rebellion that we probably do.
Now, I don't dislike Moose. But while I was at Dynasty and I was talking to people about TNA, somebody was like, stop trying to make Moose a thing. And all in my mind, I'm thinking, it's like, damn, you're really going to have Moose beat up this old man? This is elder abuse. And that Hardy not that old. But honestly, he going to be broken for real. Moose going to spear that man out his boots. I also don't understand. And for this match in particular, yeah, Ryan Nemeth is there as a guest, but they're literally killing my brother. Like, they literally are pilmanizing my brother's neck, for the lack of a better word. And nobody gonna come out? Nobody. It's kind of like Honor No More. Everybody got a problem with the system until the system does some whack stuff. No, and then Speedball Mountain, by the time y'all came out, Nick Nemeth's neck is already broken. What is transpiring here? Do we not get the cue? Like, I don't understand. I don't know what's next for Nick Nemeth. Maybe his neck is broken and maybe he will join the Broken Universe. And I think that'd be interesting because I've never seen Nick Nemeth or Dolph Ziggler in a comedy role besides It Should Have Been Me. But I think that was supposed to be serious.
Someone who did get the memo, by the way.
Honestly, I saw that. Committing to the bit could, and I'll say this again, and I know this is the wrong show. That's what you get, Tony Khan, for giving us women's matches at 9:20 for months. That's what you get, Tony Khan, for saying we're going to get a meat division. And alas, we are all vegan. I've had it. It's funny. I'm sorry this happened to you, sir. I was sports entertained. I knew what was up when Scapegoat gave him that smile like the Eddie Kingston. I wouldn't hurt you. We're not going to jump you. Just come outside. Take off your jacket. We're not going to jump you.
Oh, God. Anyway, we expected it. By the way, FightfulSelect.com, we did report that TK was wearing the neck brace for the parking lot brawl that was taped earlier on Thursday. So there you go.
I love it. Committing to the bit.
Speaking of FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. You get access to our Discord. You get access to all of the content. There's a free tier as well if you want. You can get injury news. You can get other news that's not paywall related. Stuff, announcements that are imminent, all that good stuff. Tons of content every single day. The Macklin re-signing deal, we had that up on FightfulSelect.com. Over on FightfulSelect.com, we had Steph DeLander's contract status after Rebellion. Go find out. I mean, I can tell you, she's still a free agent, but she's still working TNA, okay? So we have an interview with her dropping soon. Sean Ross Sapp did that. But yeah, Matt Hardy's going to team up with Speedball Mountain. That's the fun stuff. Under Siege is next Friday. We'll be back on I'll be here on Thursday next week. Chris is going to go and have a birthday.
You know what? Honestly, truly, I'll probably just make plans for Friday and I'll probably be here, because when you become 9,000 years old, there's only so many things you can do. And honestly, I'm going to want to watch wrestling anyway, because I am a wrestling fan. And I'm a loser.
I get it, you giant loser. I understand.
Me and the good hands got a lot in common. We're losers.
Okay, so we'll celebrate Crest's birthday for our Under Siege post show. How about that? Okay.
The pre-show to the post-show, because I think I might try to go to Under Siege. I think I'm gonna talk to whoever I gotta talk to at Fight Forward. I think I'm gonna go just with my purple hair in the front and be like, I make a sign.
I don't know where they're gonna put you, but we can get you there. How about that?
It doesn't matter. I'm making a sign.
Listen, the weirdest experience I ever had was TNA Impact at the time, inviting me and my entire family to go to Emergence.
That's cute, though.
No, it was weird. It was me. It was my brother. It was his fiance, my mom, and my dad. My parents are not wrestling fans, but man, what an evening that was.
If I go, let's say in a perfect world, because I like to put things out to the universe. If I managed to go and I took my little brother, who's been a TNA fan since AJ Styles' hair was like this, my little brother would crit his pants. He would look at me and say, heck you, but you're the best sister ever.
You know what the weirdest part? Okay, sorry, I'm just thinking about this. The weirdest part of that experience for me wasn't my family being there. It was when I sat down with Kevin Knight and Bully Ray and had a full-on conversation while my family was like on the opposite side of me.
And it's crazy because I feel like if you don't know, you're like, wow, I'm so happy for my family member chatting it up with this random person.
Oh, they ain't got a clue. They have,
exactly. And if you know, it's like,
We're sitting in the back section in like this area that I wanted to be in the back section. And I was just like, we're just hanging out there, just schmoozing. And my family's just watching the show. And I'm just chatting with these people. And it's just like, what are we doing here? This is weird. And I'm being asked, did you sing Joya? We walked in as the Joya stuff was starting. And I could feel my face just being like, how am I going to explain this shit?
Ah, You are a better person than I. I have indoctrinated every person who can hear the sound of my voice to wrestling. Some people will tell you everything there is to know about One Piece. I will tell you everything there is to know about wrestling. You can't even like, well, I used to watch Hulk Hogan. Yeah, you liked Hulk Hogan? Well, there's a guy named Brian Cage who looks a lot like him, and he's not a bigot. So let me introduce you to wrestling.
Just throw them Hammerstone. Just show them Alexander Hammerstone.
Bro, I've got a million examples. I got it's Keith Lee, Hammerstone, Jake something, Jason Fatu. I got a... That is somebody I indoctrinated. It was like, well, I like wrestling. I'm like, you like wrestling? Okay, let me tell you about Becky Lynch and how her nose got broken and how she stood at the top of the stairs. It was like, I don't care. And he was like, that's interesting. I don't want you to keep talking. Like, too late.
Anyway, as we start to go off the air and you're watching this after the fact, maybe leave a comment. It was the most embarrassing time you've ever had to tell your friends or family you're a wrestling fan. That wasn't even the worst for me, but go ahead, drop it in the comments. Cresta Star, what you got going on?
I will leave y'all with trying to explain to my grandma what Scissor Me Daddy Ass was. Tomorrow I will be on Lyrics Podcast. We're going to be talking about what happened at Dynasty. So please tune in, check that out, Lyric Wrestling. My live streams have all but stopped because my muggle job has me in a chokehold. So you can catch me here every Thursday with Joel Pearl, most likely tomorrow, not tomorrow, next week, Thursday, because it'll be my birthday. I'll be turning 4,877. Friday, we should be here for Under Siege, but if not Saturday, I'll definitely be here for our Collision post show. The gang is not back all together. Iridian is a busy girl, just like Rick, but it'll be myself and Rick. And I'm excited to hang out with you guys. If that was a lot, please go ahead and follow me on Twitter, Cresta the Star. There's a link tree in my bio to all these beautiful podcasts, all these beautiful things. Joel Pearl, where can the lovely people find you?
Not hard to find. I am at Joel Pearl on all forms of social media. I get in the weeds with Jeremy Lambert over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. That's youtube.com/Fightful Overbooked. We do that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern till noon. I think Sean Ross Sapp is joining us for the next couple of shows for a mock draft that I'm just, it's going to happen. Okay. There's that. Cresta and I are back next week on Thursday. And then Friday, we'll figure it out. There will be an Under Siege post show where we talk about Matt Hardy pinning Moose and getting a world title shot at Against All Odds. Sorry, I didn't mean to do spoilers, but the show's live. So what are we doing here, right? Right?
You know what it's all. You know why you came here. You know what's up. Stop it.
Everyone's all like, I want the scoop. So here's your scoop. I just gave it to you.
Gave you a double chocolate mint scoop. Don't do that.
It was a freebie. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.